I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot on the floor. Oh, Gillies with the goal.
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot. Scores. What a play by Gavin Gould.
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Shoot.
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ, and head coach Joe Schott is with us. Coming up a split down at number 14, Bowling Green State University, a team that really was a thorn in the side of Michigan Tech all season long until that Saturday night game where the Huskies won 4-0, coming off a 7-2 loss on Friday night. Coach, welcome back to the studio. Good morning.
Great. Thanks, Dirk. And I want to take care of something right off the bat. I had, when we were gone over the holidays, we were at the GLI. We got a lot of snow. We were at GLI and out in Vegas. And I have asked everybody I know who did my driveway, I think including you. No, you were with me. But I've asked everybody I know. When I got back, somebody had done my driveway, and I want to thank whoever that was. I mean, that's what the UP is. It's just people like that, you know, no one came forward and said, you know, that they, hey, I did your driveway for you. So whoever did that, thank you so much for doing that. It was appreciated. I tried to take care of this behind the scenes and just find out who did it. But
you haven't found out yet?
I have not found out. I've asked everybody I know who would do it, including Coach Luker. I asked because I know he likes to snowblow.
Yeah.
I asked him, but no one has come
was
forward.
Was it snowblowed?
No, it was snowblowed. And recently, right before we got home, we got a lot of snow. Snow on the back deck was 3/4 of the way up my back, my slide door window. So somebody did it, and the neighbors saw it. I asked the neighbors if they did it, and the neighbors saw who was there. But anyways, whoever did that, thank you so much for doing it. I want to make sure that I thank you.
Well, a great game Saturday night, Coach. 4-0 victory over Bowling Green State University. 7-2 was the final on Friday night in favor of Bowling Green on down there. And just can you give us a summary of your thoughts on a very important weekend it was?
Yeah, it was, you know, I came out of that game, I guess just a brief thing. Friday night's game was demoralizing in a lot of ways. Because everything we've been doing, everything we've been discussing, you know, there's a couple teams in our league that play the game in the way that you feel. And this is whatever, you know, probably to the point of upsetting our players. I would talk to them about that. If we're going to have success against these teams, we have to do this. We at least have to be working towards doing that. And Bowling Green, Mankato, Bemidji in some ways, but we had played Bowling Green so many times, we just kept referencing because they're a mirror for us. The things that we, need, in my opinion, that we need to, overcome, the things we need to, the wall we have to go through goes right through Bemidji, or right through Bowling Green. The compete level, the attention to detail, the puck management, every aspect goes through Bowling Green because they do that to the point where it wears us down mentally and physically. And they have a way of turning the game into a battle of wills. So Friday was a demoralizing game in some ways, an in your face game in some ways of this is where it's at game of a reality check. Saturday, our guys, for the first time, in my opinion, for the first time all year, played a complete hockey game in all aspects of the game. Even our power play, execution, every aspect of our game with the lineup we had in, execute the way that we're going to have to execute, play the way that we're going to have to execute. And I'm not saying from a coaching standpoint, there was no big miraculous, move that we made that turned us around. It had nothing to do with coaching. It had to do with a group of men doing what athletics allows you to do and overcoming obstacles, facing the giant, you know what I mean, taking it on and getting the job done. So what I shared with the team, what I shared with you know, administration after the game was that game to me as a coach meant more than winning that icebreaker tournament. That game was a team effort against a foe that's been giving us that's had a way of gut checking us like no other, and our guys came out with success into it and something to build on going forward.
So can I summarize by saying that this is the first game all season long, is what you're saying, is that everybody bought into what you were
you know
pushing?
I don't want to put anything on me. But I will say in reference to me, that was the first game that's my kind of a team. That's the type of team that I'm customary of having, of coaching. That's the style of play that I'm most comfortable with. I don't do well, and you people have, you know, and so many people on here know me personally and have known me personally for years. There's no secrets about Joe Schott. When I was hired, it wasn't like, you know, this guy's kind of, I kind of like this guy. They either knew me or they didn't, you know, they knew me. They either liked me or they didn't like me, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows throughout the UP that has anything to do with hockey what I'm all about. It's difficult when you're looking at your players, you're looking at your roster, you're looking at your lineup, and you can't identify what a player is, especially as they're getting on in their career, because there's a certain element, there's a certain formula that I like to work off of. A power forward needs to play a certain type of a game, physically strong, set a presence for you on the ice, they battle for good ice positioning. They have a quick release on the shot. Forechecker has to play a certain way. They have to chase the puck. They have to be a nuisance, a pest, always applying pressure to the puck. A skill player has to play a certain way. And in reality, I will take the other two that I know what I'm getting over a skill player that you don't know what you're going to get. Because with your skill players, you're willing, you can only have a couple of those true skill guys. And we've talked about this before. Let's look at Alex Patan. Alex Patan was a skill player that learned to be more competitive, but a skill guy. And you would overlook some of the things, some of the cheating and things that he would do. And by say overlook, you would knowingly say to other people, you can't try to play like Alex Patan. Alex Patan gets 10, 11 scoring chances a night. If you're doing that, you're not doing what we need you to do, and you're not going to generate the 10 or 11 that he does. He does that consistently, night in, night out. So to answer what you're saying, it was the most, if you want to bring me into it, it's the most Joe Schott type of a team that's characteristics of the teams that I've coached, with the competitiveness, with the pushback, with the things like that. Now, taking me out of it, I think the players just said, hey, you know, last night was embarrassing, and we don't want something like that to happen again.
The physical play was the thing I think the fans noticed most from Friday night to Saturday night. Would you agree, Coach?
How could you not? I mean, right from the opening drop of the puck, you know, Bowling Green came out to send a message. Like, they want to come out and break our will from the first shift on. And at one point, I mean, they had a couple power plays in there, and they were out shooting us 9-3. But we were battling, we were competing, and then we pushed back, then we gained confidence. And to me, the important part of the game was the start of the second period, where we came out and went right after them in the beginning of the second period. Bowling Green is a extremely well coached team, that does not change from what they do. They're going to win or lose with that fire, with that compete. That's what Chris Bergeron's teams are about. They've had success with that. They're a team that's hungry for the next step of their program. And everything they do is gearing towards that. Every decision they make, all the accountability factors within their group. I mean, they missed it a few years ago by a ten thousandth of a point. 0.001 or 0.001 of getting in the national tournament. Last year they lost in double overtime. They were within a double overtime of getting in the national tournament. That's the next stage of their program. and they're doing every. They're on the. They're Tanner Caros and those guys before Blake Piedla. They're those guys that had came from their first year being four wins, being in a program with four wins, and turning that into finally getting in the net by their senior year. They got into the national tournament. Bowling Green is that team. They're pushing in that fashion. They're extremely well coached. They aren't overlooking any obstacles, any details. They will cut guys that are not completely bought into the way they're playing. They aren't trying to play skill over grit. They're playing grit over skill. They're gonna try to wear you down in this league and compete. And we have to go through those teams. Like I shared with the guys on Saturday, you may be sick of hearing it from me. I get it. But the reality of it is if we're in college football, Alabama, we're chasing Alabama. If we're Division I, and there's no difference, there's guys that are going right from us to the NHL. They'll be in the NHL for the playoffs this year. This is as big as it gets underneath professional hockey in the United States. It's where it's at. So you can't go through it and play it like you're a Bantam hockey player. I mean, that's the choice that you've made to chase this dream. And in football, you're going through Alabama, you're going through Clemson, you're going through these programs. They're who you're chasing. If you're going to say, I'm sick and tired of hearing about Alabama, you're in the wrong gig. You know, you are in the wrong gig. And, Bowling Green for us right now, Mankato, Bemidji, those are the teams that we have to make sure that we can play like. We can't, we have to address that we're, the good qualities they have, are what we're trying to make sure that we have, and then take it past that. And I thought on Saturday, we threw a Bowling Green game at Bowling Green. It was senior night. They had emotion. They threw everything they had at us, and our guys were resilient with it. And again, I was more proud of that effort than winning that icebreaker tournament, because a team came together on that night, in my opinion, for the first time all year. We've won games where we've had guys have great performances, but we had a really, our president, Dr. Moraz, was at a gathering that I went to before the game, and he was talking to the group about the pillars. What separates Michigan Tech? What makes it the special place it is? One of his pillars was tenacity, and he made the comment, I think you people will see tenacity tonight out of our hockey team. And he dropped me a note yesterday, and he said that was that exemplified tenacity, and it was a great note from him. It was great to send those people, to give those people that sense of pride in the program.
Well, it was a great weekend of hockey to watch, Saturday night especially. We'll recap the weekend when we come back. It's the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93. If you got a question for Coach, we're going to be asking those questions later on this hour. And that's if you're listening here on Monday morning live. And the email address, dj@themix93.com.
Bucko's loves giving the community a great place to shop with amazing deals. So come show your party store some love back. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. All High Drive and Outlaw energy drinks are only 99 cents. All 32-ounce Powerades are $1. And Kickstar energy drinks are 4 for $4. Pick some Wild Game jerky and Mackinac Island popcorn. And don't forget your Valentine's Day wine, liquor, and lottery tickets when at Bucko's on 5th Street in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes and deposits.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
What? Turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No.
Sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have a $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlak, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Joe Schoenauer continues here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Again, the email address, if you want to get a question in for Coach Sean, is DJ@themix93.com. All right, Coach. Well, let's, I guess Friday night's game, we can kind of get that out of the way here in just a moment. Really was lost in that second period. A really good first period. We talked to you after the first period on Friday night. And you were happy with the way the guys played. It was nothing. Outshot them. Just couldn't come up with a goal. And then the first 7 minutes and 22 seconds, we gave up four goals in that Friday night game. What happened in that 7 minutes and 22 seconds that allowed that to happen?
I think reality hit us in the face. You know, everything that Bowling Green does to us, everything that demoralizes us with Bowling Green, they did. And, you know... the only real loss is if you don't learn something by it. So, you know, everything, and maybe this has been a long process, and we'll see this weekend how we come out, but everything, that we've been going through, has been leading to Saturday. So I don't have a ton of comments for Friday. It was a bad loss. It was everything right in our face. You know, and maybe it was exactly what we needed in order. You know, we're looking for the end result here. And we're not looking at, you know, we're looking at the end result. We're looking at, I'm hoping that from that point on, we're doing what we want to do and everybody is beating, you know, we have one heartbeat going forward and we're all bleeding the same color you know, we're all working to get better every single day, which is what we're trying to do.
Well, with that, let's move on to Saturday night's game. The Huskies 7-2 fall on Friday night to Bowling Green. That was the fourth game already that they had played Bowling Green this season. They go to the fifth game on Saturday night, and the game winner came off of the stick of Gavin Gould, who had a phenomenal game, I thought, on Saturday night. Gets his 10th of the season.
Hauser will leave it there for his defensive partner, Pocamp, and it's worked up to the wing. Franks will take a hit. Delayed offside against Michigan Tech. They'll take up. Huskies have Gould. Gould locks in. Scores! Oh, Gavin Gould on the great wrister! And the Huskies go up 1-0 here in the first period with 7-11 remaining.
Kind of an interesting play there, Coach, because it was right on the blue line. It almost looked like the puck came out, or did it come out? And I know there was a little talk after, I believe, on whether or not they were going to look and see it was offside, or was that the...
Yeah, they were going to look at it, and they must have had somebody up top check it, and they decided it wasn't. But it was great to get that, to force that turnover, mm-hmm. and turn it back at them right away and get that play. But, you know, as important as that goal was, it was equally important the way that Gavin laid down in front of a shot in the third period, mm-hmm. and took a shot, showing that, you know, one of your top skill guys is willing to sacrifice for the group like he did. He blocked a shot for us, and that brought as much emotion to the bench as the goal that he got. But what was great to hear in that clip, did you hear the crowd?
Yeah.
Like, it was just a great, because that was a loud building. You know, they have that metal ceiling and everything. It's a low ceiling. It's a loud building that kind of amplifies everything, but our crowd, we had a great crowd at the game again, as we always do traveling with our group.
12:49, the time of the goal for Gavin Gould, and Jake Lucchini gets the only assist. The Huskies up 1-0 after the first period, and shots in the first period, Bowling Green 10, Michigan Tech 7. Lots of good things happening in that first period. We go to the second period at the 9:06 mark, and it's Jake Lucchini who actually gets credit for this goal.
And Gavin Gould will have it now at his own blue line, off the boards for Lucchini. Lucchini. And Lesperance in front. Here's the pass to the back star. Lesperance scores! scores. Joel Esperance! And Jake Lucchini teaming up on that play along with Gavin Gould. And it might be Lucchini's goal, actually. It doesn't look like Lesperance got a piece of it, but he was right there. It's 2-0 Michigan Tech.
Yeah, originally looked like it had to be Lesperance's goal, the way he celebrated and everything. But he was just happy for his teammate, Jake Lucchini. He made a nice pass that ended up, I believe, going in off the defenseman.
Yeah, there were a lot of good things on that play. Indirect pass through the neutral zone. I think it was Mitch Meek. I'm not sure who got the second assist on that
play. They have
play.
Tyler Rockwell.
Tyler. Yeah. It was Tyler. You're right. Yeah. A great indirect pass that sprung Luch. If Tyler makes a direct pass, you know, the player's in the pass lane. So, Luch picked it up off the boards on an indirect. And, it was a great read by Tyler, and he went in and had a little change of gears, faked inside, went back outside, which created a little time and space and gave Joel Lesperance time to drive the net and drive that defenseman back and create traffic in front. And Luch was feeding the puck into Joel, but put it off the defender who was covering Joel driving to the net. So everybody was impactful on it. It was a really good hockey play.
9:06, the time of the goal. Jake Lucchini, his ninth of the season from Gavin Gould and Tyler Rockwell, getting his first point as a Husky, and the Huskies leading 2-0. They made it 3-0 at the 14:35 mark of period number two.
Lucchini will drop it for Ock. Ock with a nice move, walks to the middle, sends it over. No shot there for Meek. He'll hold on. Over for Ock, fakes the shot. Here's Meek, fakes the shot. Back for Ock. He will shoot this one. Got through and he scores! Mark Ock from the right point buried it. A nice low shot about 3 or 4 inches off of the ice. And it found its way through. It's 3-0 Michigan Tech.
Well, great. I thought great passing and catching there between Meek and Mark Ock on that play, and finally deciding when they should shoot, and they shot at the right time.
Yeah, they found a lane in front. There was good traffic in front. That was during a 5-minute major. Power play movement was great throughout that whole 5-minute major for the most part, and they were able to get that goal in. So Bowling Green does a good job of blocking shots. Ocker did a great job of getting it through, but you set it up there. There were a lot of they were trying to find a lane to get it through with some traffic, and they worked it hard with some fake shots and drawing some guys, and Mark was able to get it through, and it was a huge goal for us.
And a big goal because you have. And we held on at the end of that period, too, when I think Bowling Green had a couple of good chances. They only got 3 shots in that whole period. Was that our best period of the weekend, you think, Coach, that second period on Saturday?
Yeah, and I'd say, and the reason I'd say is because of what happened Friday in the second period, how Bowling Green came out, took it over. And in this one, it was kind of, the guys kind of made a statement that this isn't happening tonight, the way it happened last night, at least not without a fight. So, we came out physical in the beginning of the period, and then pushed right hard at them. And then as it got physical, then we were able to get a couple power plays in there that gave us a little bit more momentum. So, I'd say it was a great period for us.
So 3-0 the score after two periods. Again, the Huskies out shooting Bowling Green in that second period, 13-3. We go to the third, and you want to get that next goal to really take Bowling Green out of it on senior night, and the Huskies did that. It took a while, though. Came at the 14:30 mark.
2 seconds left. Rockwell comes out. The Huskies killed off the penalty, and we'll get it clear. Here comes Lucchini. It's a 3-on-1. Lucchini walking in. Shoots! Scores! Lucchini right between the legs of Bednard. Gets the fourth goal for the Huskies, his third of the weekend, with 5:30 remaining.
You know, Coach, looking at that goal, 3-on-1 coming down, but it just seemed like the right thing to do to shoot because it didn't seem like there was a real clean, open pass to try to make a 3-on-1 work.
Yeah, it was absolutely the right thing. The ice closes up quickly unless you make that play right away inside the blue line. As Luch got deeper and deeper, and the Bowling Green defender decked out, he didn't have a lot. So, but what he did do is he was looking for those options, and he got the goalie to back in. The goalie had to play the potential pass options. We had good drive presence at the net, and then Luch was able to put it in. But, you also want to look back at a couple of Dylan Stamen had those same opportunities. Yes. A couple times, playing such great hockey for us, rang one off the goalpost, one off the crossbar. The goal, those things add up in a goalie's mind as to how he's going to play something. And on this one, this particular one, again, Stamen puts one off the crossbar, puts one off the goalpost. Luch went right through the middle, right through the wickets, and put it right 5-hole and went right through the middle on him when the goalie was opened up a little bit. So big goal for us once it was 4-0 there. Now it was clock watching time.
And, going back earlier on in that third period, I think it was the third period on Saturday night where Bowling Green did have some really good chances. They had Baydoun kind of going post to post and a couple of open nets appear, uh, appeared to be open nets that they that they missed. And for us to be able to get through that and get that fourth goal, I thought was huge.
Yeah, they did have. They had the one where they had, I think it was McLean all alone in front of the net looking to bat it into it as the puck came out front of the net. And we were able to tie up, but we battled in there. There were several times where there were plays at the net where we, our guys battled hard. It was probably the most complete game that I've seen Mark Ock play. He won battles. Our guys were separating well. Dane Burks played a tremendous hockey game for us, as all our D did, obviously. You know, the shots in a third, I think they had 11 or something like that, maybe 13, something to that effect. But they rode out, I mean, I think the last 5 minutes or so, once we made it 4-0, they were pretty much on the power play for the entire time after that. So, a lot of those shots came in at that time where they were even a 5-on-3, I believe, for a portion of it, or 4-on-3. So, a lot of those racked up at that time. So we were good. I think up through the 14 minute mark when Luch got that goal, we were very good in the third period.
We were 1-for-6 on the power play. They were 0-for-8 on the man advantage. And, you know, the night before, Coach, we were 0-for-10 on the power play. I know that's a little skewed because some of those power play opportunities were very abbreviated, but that Mark Ox power play goal, huge to get that and to capitalize on the 5 minute majors. And what were your thoughts on the defense in general and Robbie Badun in net getting his shutout?
Outstanding. Robbie gave us the goaltending that we needed. He gave us the saves that we needed. He gave us the saves early when we needed them. He played a good college hockey game, and his team in front of him played very well and protected him and didn't give up a lot of second chance opportunities and allowed him to see the shots that he did face. So he did his job. He did what's expected of him to do, and I think he came out of it feeling very good about himself. And I think our defense did. You know, you're looking at a bunch of guys. I mean, the total amount of games played between the two teams on defense would have been extremely lopsided. But our guys played a phenomenal game. They were efficient in their puck movement, moving it up the ice. I thought Tyler Rockwell coming in filling in did a great job on his puck movement. Got better as the weekend went on his defending. That's the biggest area that he needs to continue to work on, is his ability to separate and make sure that his size isn't a detriment on the ice. You know, Cooper Watson was efficient in what he did on the ice a lot of the time. Todd Killinen gave us a tremendous physical presence on the ice. That kid's as tough as nails. I mean, as tough as nails.
Well, he got a couple penalties in the game.
He's as tough as nails.
And after on the bus, he said, "Dirk, did you call me a goon out there?" I said, "No, but I could have."
Yeah.
He was joking.
But he took some hits too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very Konstantinov-like, where he was, you know, he was drawing attention. They took some runs at him. That charge at the beginning of the game on Saturday night. I mean, but it doesn't, you know, if Todd Killinen stays down, he's hurt. That kid is as tough as they come. He's still a very young athlete. And again, you know, Ock and Birksie were absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if I'm leaving a guy out there, but, our defensive core was absolutely tremendous. Oh, Mitch Meek was great as well. So, filling in on a power play and doing a great job on penalty kills. So, the entire team, on Saturday night, they've now set a bar. Are we willing to do that again? You know, we had a little talk with them on a little story here on it in Wayne Gretzky's biography. He talks about Edmonton's the up and coming team, and everybody's probably heard this, or at least a version of it. But they're the up and coming team. Edmonton is. They got all the young guys messing it. So they're in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time. They're playing the Islanders at the end of a dynasty. You know, with Trache and Nystrom and all their boys, Potvin and all that.
Bossy and
the Islanders beat them 4-rip. They win the series. They sweep the series, and they're thinking that they're going to walk by. Kevin Lowe's walking in a locker out of their room with Gretzky. They have to go by the Islanders dressing room. They're thinking they're going to see a huge celebration by these guys, and they walk by, and what they see is the wives with champagne and the staff and the surrounding staff and the trainers and everybody, but they see the players in ice tubs and with ice on them and getting stitched up and getting the treatments. You know, now it's all done. They're getting the treatments and Gretzky and Laura, they're walking out and they feel fine. Mm-hmm. And that was the lesson for them. That's the difference. And that's what Gretzky said. He said to Kevin Lowe, right there's the difference. That's the difference. They paid the price. So I told our guys after the game, you know, I walked in quickly after the game to get up and talk to you and try to get on the road and get out of there to beat some weather. And already guys had, you know, we're getting treatments. They're already, I mean, we're beat up. That's hockey. This isn't, you know, this is Division I hockey. And, but there wasn't a guy that didn't have a smile on his face. There wasn't a guy. And I told him, I said, fellas, it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. And they're looking at me, are you crazy? Like, what are you talking about? We just won. It hurts. There's a price that you pay, that you pay at this, you know, to be at what you love. And, you know, there's some things that I, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and some things kick me right in the face. And I know that what I learned though is that the world is round, and that when I do things in life, like I've learned that when something's going against me, when I think that something's not right, are we at a break here?
No, go ahead.
When something's not going right, I can always revert back to, and it happened just to experience where I did something at some point, recently or not recently, where it's just payback. You know, Joe, yeah, you don't say you didn't deserve this. You were at the other end of that at some point. You know, I remember this situation. There's three things that have made me, I think, that formulated who I am. You know, faith, family, sport, for sure. All three of those. You know, faith, family, and sport. The common denominator in all of them, and what I share with the guys, and if I don't get anything else through it, our athletes, the common denominator is love and sacrifice in all of them. And there's sacrifice in the success that they had on Saturday. There's love for the guys next to you that went through it with you. You don't have to talk about how good you were. These guys don't have to make excuses of what could have happened on Saturday night. There was sacrifice made. There was love for the game, love for them, love for the university. You know, it's a great experience to be part. That's why we do this. Right. We don't do this just to collect a paycheck. You know, we all started out not getting a paycheck at this. You know what I mean? Just for the love of it. And that's why I feel good about the direction that we're going. And if we can put it together through a couple more weekends here and continue to grow, some of these guys, why can't Ray Bryce be a top player? Why can't Evan Anderson? Why can't they? You know what I mean? If it comes together for them and they figure it out, why can't they? There's nothing holding anybody back. And that's what we've been saying from the start of the year. And that's what offends some people sometimes when I talk like that. But why don't you set the bar high? You know, why put limitations that aren't there? But there's a price to pay. There's a price to be a good student. There's a price to be a good parent. There's a price to be a good family member. There's a price to pay. There's a price to be a good athlete. And it doesn't come from complaining. It doesn't come from being negative. It doesn't come from blaming others. It doesn't come from that. You know, it doesn't come from trying to defend your actions. It comes from working and getting results and helping the next guy next to you do the same. That's where it builds.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. We'll start on some of your questions in just a little bit. We'll also take a look at what went on outside of the Michigan Tech Bowling Green series. And there was a lot that went on. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93.
You can always count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Just like you can always count on Always Game Gary. Yay! No bar is too far. No wing sauce is too hot. Not for Gary. Gary is the man. He's nothing like Keith. Keith never wants to do anything. Why are we even talking about Keith? Always Game Gary is famous among friends. He deserves a Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Avast, 12 years been sailing through the portage to Joy Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Arr, a jambalaya bite warms me innards all through a cold Lake Superior winter night. With all you can eat, three times per week, weigh anchor for a fast lunch bite or dinner with a brewski served up just right at Joy Seafood and Grill.
Your local Carfax Advantage dealer, Cuna Automotive, across from Walmart and Houghton, has announced a huge inventory reduction sale on all their in-stock cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Save thousands on a broad lineup of quality, clean, pre-owned vehicles, selectively chosen, thoroughly inspected, and guaranteed for your utmost satisfaction. Stop in today and take advantage of the amazing sale prices on the cleanest pre-owned vehicles you'll find anywhere. That's the big inventory reduction sale going on now at Cuna Automotive, a family-owned automotive center on the business strip in Houghton. 482-7988 or go to CunaAutomotive.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies, or at least me, did some scoreboard watching this weekend. Bemidji State, the team that Michigan Tech's trying to catch in the standings. And Lake State University with two nothing victories at Sanford Center in Bemidji. Surprised, I think, just about everybody in the league. Though every coach I talked to, coach in the league, including you, and I believe the same thing. Damian Winton's team is a lot better than their record, and they have shown that.
Yeah, congratulations to Damon on that effort. They're trying hard. They're battling hard to get that last playoff spot. And you know, I've been over there. I know what he's battling over there, and a great job by them. And it helped us. It helped us big time because now, you know, Bemidji has a couple games in hand on us. They're going to be hungry coming in here, and you know what? Good. Because we need those challenges. We're still trying to grow a program here and find ourselves in a consistent way. But a great job by them. I'm pulling for them. We're pulling for the UP teams for sure. And I'm proud of the effort that they put in. And you know what? I haven't talked to Damon, but I gave him a phone call this weekend, or last week while we were doing our prep work that, Lake State did a lot of creative things against Bowling Green that gave me a lot of ideas that helped us on the weekend. You know, we had a great start Friday with some of those ideas. We were able to reiterate and make sure that those were focus points on Saturday. We didn't want to change anything because we just thought we got away from it on Friday night. Bowling Green was able to get our mindset away from it. But there were some things that they did that were really unique and creative against Bowling Green on the video that we watched. So he's doing a good job there, and I'm proud of the effort that they put in.
I think Mittens was the goaltender both nights.
I know he was Saturday. I'm not 100% sure he was on Friday.
And certainly stood on his head Saturday night. I was looking at some of the no, I take that back. Kossoff was Friday night. Mittens was on Saturday night, and both of them with 2-0 shutouts. Very impressive because that's a tough building to play in, too.
Yeah.
You know, against Bemidji State. Yeah. So that helped out the Huskies as you know, because it puts Michigan Tech now 2 points behind Bemidji State. Again, the Beavers with two games in hand, but they'll be in here this weekend. Minnesota State with a 7-1 win on a Friday night over Anchorage, and the final on Saturday was 4-3, a little closer there as Anchorage came back in that game on Saturday night. Ferris State was up in Fairbanks to take on Alaska. Alaska wins that game on Friday night by a score of 4-2, and the final on Saturday night was 4-1 in favor of the Nanooks. And the Northern Michigan Wildcats on Saturday night beat Alabama Huntsville 4-3, but then Huntsville came back on Saturday night and beat Northern Michigan by a score of 4-2, and that stopped a long streak of winning streak, or at least
I think seven straight. I think so.
For Northern Michigan, their last loss was back in December.
Yeah, it was a long time, and it was at the
icebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Against Arizona State, but good scores. And again, it's so important that Lake State kept pace with that Alabama Huntsville win on Saturday, because I believe if that would have gone the other way, that might have pretty much sealed it.
I think so, yeah.
So it keeps that battle alive. And those are all those things are important for growing programs. Big wins, players playing big when they have to.
All right, let's get to some of the questions that you have emailed in. And again, our email address, dj@themix93.com, if you're listening here on Monday morning. Coach, first question, do you feel your lack of confidence in your goaltenders could be hurting their performance? This listener says, I know from experience the position is tough enough to play without the fear of knowing if you make a mistake, you may not get another chance for a long time, if at all. You said that it's all about the numbers, but isn't a win the biggest number?
Yeah, win's the biggest number, but there's a lot of factors that go into that. It's a good question. I don't think what's important is my confidence in the position. It's the person who's in the net's confidence in the position. I think what the real question is the way that we're handling the goaltenders, am I hurting the goaltenders? Is the real question. I think that you're trying to get at, and, I would say this, that I've been through it. I understand the position. Is it fair? First of all, what's most important is the team. T-E-A-M, team. That's what's most important. And who gives us the best chance as a team to have success. Would it be good for me to hand the job to Packy Munson? How fair is that to the team? How fair that is that to Devin? How fair is that to Robbie? Is it fair for me to give the job to Robbie? Is it fair for me to give the job to Devin? Is it fair to the team? Is it fair to everybody? At that position, you need an individual. It's a thankless position. You're either a hero or a goat. I mean, that's the way it is. I've grown up playing that. I know that role. I played it in my hometown, which is even more, just like Devin's going through. I know exactly what he's going through. But the best way to do it is to put the best goalie in the net. And it's not my job to manufacture the best goalie. It's the goalie's job, whoever it is, to lead the hockey team, to get in there and give the hockey team confidence. And for me to just be putting someone in the net and assigning who's that guy without that person earning it, goes against what athletics is about. That goaltender needs toughness. That position needs toughness. Jamie Phillips would get, you might call it a longer leash, because he earned that opportunity through performance. What this question is basically saying is, just give it to somebody and ride with them and see what they can do. That makes no sense to me. You earn what you get. And with that comes confidence. Other than that, I'm putting them in a position to fail if we don't feel they're ready to be in the net and they go in there and they don't do a job. We're setting them back. We held Angus Redman back a long time last year with a lot of pressure. It got to the point where we went into Ann Arbor. Devin went in, gave up some late goals and a late lead. Wenche did the same. And it happened in Yost Arena in front of Mel's people, and he was so furious. Those guys weren't getting back in the net. And all the interviewers that came in to talk to Mel the next Monday, why don't you interview Joe and ask him about our goaltending? And that was exactly how that played out. Like but I kept telling Mel and fighting, Angus is not ready. He's not ready. We're going to set him up for failure in the long run. When he went in there, he did a job for us. Got a shutout his first game. You know, did a job and then took off a little bit for us. But my job is to try to give them a chance to succeed, not to put them in there and set up failure for them. And the best way to do that, you know, last year, if you remember, we went with veterans, went with Devin and Winchie over and over until we felt that, okay, this isn't going to work. Right now we're waiting to find out what guy steps up and makes it work. You know what I mean? And it's not my job to make them good or make them bad. It's their job. It's a position that requires mental toughness, grit, above all others in that sport, in our sport.
All right, Coach, next question. In the 86-87 season at Lake State, you were part of a goaltending trio with Mike Greenlay and Randy Exelby.
Exelby, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How does that compare to the dynamics of your current goaltending trio, and what did you learn that's helpful? What did you learn from then that's helpful now?
Well, here's what I'll say in that. I learned a lot of things on that team that I've used now, and I think that Frank Anzalone learned a lot of things with that team that helped get a national championship the next year. There were a lot of dynamics at play there. In that situation, I was the odd guy out. And what happened on that is that I've talked about this before, I have no problem. We had a freshman coming in from Calgary, Mike Greenlay. Good goaltender, big kid, the goalie of the future, because Randy and I were seniors. The year before, I was coming off leading the CCHA in virtually every category, second in the country or first in most categories. And Randy was a Montreal Canadian draft pick. And we were a building program. We were a program that was building. After a rotation system, I was the odd guy out in the second half. We were going with Randy, an NHL draft pick, and getting Mike his experience to be the guy in the program. So it was kind of handed to Mike. It was kind of handed to him. And it was, you know, you accept it. You do your job. You go with it. But what ended up happening in the long run with that is that we lost that year in the finals, And it was, you know, the second half of the year, I might have played senior night. We won. I might have got a shutout that night. But I played senior night, which was the only time I played probably from November on, maybe December on. And Randy and Mike kind of split the games. We ended up losing. We finished second or third in the league. We ended up getting upset at home in the first round of the playoffs. And then Mike Greenley lasted, I think, the next Christmas. He might have lasted the whole next year, but Bruce Hofford came in and took the job. He was the guy. He came in and took the job, won the national tournament, and then Mike Greenley left. Like, he left. So when they were trying to, when something was trying to be gifted to somebody, it didn't work out, you know? So would we have been better to keep the battle going on? I don't know if we would or we wouldn't. I know that that didn't work out. For the team, and it didn't end up working out for Mike. Mike ended up leaving, like he started the year the next year, lasted after we were on semesters then, or trimesters. He lasted through the first trimester, left, went and played in the WHL with Saskatoon, and then it was Hofford and whoever was the backup at that time. I'm thinking Gilbert, a young guy from Marquette, was the third goaltender, and we ended up, it was Hoff's job, and away we went, and Hoff was the starting guy anyways. He was All-American the year before as a freshman. So I learned a lot from that. And I learned that it's not a position to be given to somebody. It's a position to be earned.
Next question, Coach. Can you give us a little update on recruiting?
Can't give names, but I like where it's going, and we're actually getting more aggressive than I thought we'd get at this time. Because we want that compete that we had on Saturday night all the time.
Here's the next question. Coach, what's easier, coaching a high-end finesse player into a grinder or trying to get a grinder to open up a little bit more?
Grinder, 100%. I'd rather, Walt Kyle said it perfectly, and I'll change the verbiage a bit, but it's much easier to tame a tiger than to paint stripes on a, let's say, kitty cat. It's much easier to tame a tiger and get them to play differently than try to get a non-competitive guy to compete.
Is the style of the player a major factor in who you recruit?
Absolutely. I recruit to a formula. I want a certain look. Most people say get the best player. What is the best player? I don't want skill without compete if that skill isn't high end. We talk about that all the time. You have to know that your skill player is going to put up points to forgive the other things that they aren't going to. You'd love to have Peter Forsberg. You'd love to have, several guys, NHL type players. I'm going back to ones that are easy for me to analyze, but, you know, you'd love to have Stamkos because he's aggressive on the puck. He's a good forechecker. He's got good skill. You'd love to have a guy that was Shanahan, power forward that is a good forechecker and has good skill. You'd love to have a guy that has it all. I categorize guys as forecheckers, skill guys, and power forwards. I want 4 to 5 power forwards in the lineup, or 3 to 4. I want 4 to 5 forecheckers, 2 skill guys max that aren't going to compete and play with grit. Right now, what we're trying to sort out is we don't know what a lot of guys are. Is a guy a forechecker? Does he give you everything? Does he chase the puck and compete hard? Or does he, kind of float and just hope, poke and go? Is he a power forward? Does he finish his checks? Does he play hard in front of the net? Or what is, there's so many guys that here was the talk I had with the staff after the game Saturday and before the game. Before the game, it was, what is this guy? What does he do for us? What is he? Well, that's the problem. We don't know. We don't know what he is. Saturday, we knew what they were. We knew that Lucchini was a great forechecker, and he got 2 goals for it. He was a great forechecker that stayed above his checks, finished his bumps, and played with some grit and jam. Gould was a skill guy that played with enough jam to get by, blocked some shots, and then when he got a chance to score, he scored the goal. Beretta was hammering guys. You know, Bryce was hitting guys. We knew what guys were. You can build on that because you can build your roster around that. When you don't know and you're rolling dice and hoping a guy is one thing or another on any given night, that leads to the inconsistencies in your lineup. That leads to the team that, which team's showing up? Well, which player's showing up? Is it going to be the competitive guy, or is it going to be the guy that doesn't want to get his nose in there on that given night?
All right, Coach, we'll take a break. We've got a couple more questions here, and we'll be right back. It's all part of the Joe Schaun Hour here on Mix 93.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there, too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all of the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
All right, let's squeeze a couple more questions in here. Want to remind you, yes, we were going to talk about that too, and I appreciate Cal reminding. Big Blue Line Luncheon coming up on Friday. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit, but you need to sign up for that or RSVP by Thursday. So let's get to a few more of your questions. The coach, has been an up-and-down year where the team looks really good for a few games and they look flat. How do you coach or instill the drive and compete level into the guys so that they're it's there every game?
Welcome to my world. Is that music say we're almost done?
No, I'm just creating some atmosphere.
I'll stay here all day.
No, we got lots of time.
We just talked about that. First of all, we have to get guys to play the way that they need to play so that we can identify what they are. Once we identify what they are, we can put a lineup in that can make our team successful. If you got guys that need to play a power forward role and they go 2 weeks straight with one hit total, they're playing offensively. They aren't helping us. They aren't competing. And we saw that like on Friday night. You know, we get a team that comes out there and just competes the heck out of the game. And we get soft and we back off. And that's been our MO. And again, I say things that offend people, but like I said to our team, I just want to be a mirror for you guys. I want you to know, like I want to be a barometer for you to know where you're at and what's going on with you. This isn't a Joe Sean player deal. I want you to know what you need to do to get better. On Saturday, it was clear that the players understood, maybe for the first time collectively as a group, what needed to be done to play a hockey game. And they went out and did it. And now they've set a bar. Now we know what they're capable of. Now there's no reason to go back and go the other way with it. We can put a lineup together that can be consistent if we know what we're going to get every game out of an individual. And believe me, you people understand listening to this show what I'm after, to the point again where it bothers you how I handle the goaltenders. They certainly know what we're expecting of them. If they have to be willing in Division I athletics, the athlete has to be willing to take it where they're uncomfortable. It's through that uncomfortableness that we all grow. You know, iron sharpens iron. You know, it's through that forging, it's through that being uncomfortable that you come up and you look for the next challenge, and then you grow, and then you overcome the next challenge. Then you look for the next one. That's why people hire athletes. That's why so many people are upset now with athletics and the prima donna attitude, because they're losing what athletics is about, developing character. You know, this ESPN highlight stuff loses the character of what it should be, being a gentleman, being a good sport, being competitive with drive. So first of all, it's knowing what we're going to get out of each player and them understanding and be willing to take it to where they need to take it.
Next question, Coach. Is the culture driven by the upperclassmen?
Until someone else starts driving it. When this team was built back with Shane Hannon and those guys, the team was kind of handed over to that group of sophomores that were last year's seniors. We talk about them all the time. Again, people don't like to hear that. Why does he keep talking about the past? I talk about it because it's the example for the future. You know, it's what needs to be done. Why reinvent the wheel? That senior class went through the growing pains that these guys right now are going through. They led us last year where these guys right now need to lead going forward. I guess that completely answers where I'm after is when we get to that point, we'll be all set.
Next question, Coach. What did you say or do between the games this weekend to inspire the effort on Saturday night?
In honesty, I did what I don't normally do and what I don't like to do. And I did just what I said. This is total honesty. I said, I know guys are sick and tired of hearing me talk about Bowling Green. How many guys have heard comments around the locker room about me referencing Bowling Green in the last month since the GLI and have heard comments that have been negative towards how I've done that? All of a sudden a hand comes up, then another hand. You think you're in the movie Stripes. Okay, how many people cried when Ole Yeller died? And then everybody's raising their hand. One by one, they raise their hands. And I said, and I did just what I just said, fellas, we're chasing that culture. We're chasing that. We're on the hunt for that. That's why I'm doing it. And then I showed clips from the game, us getting run over, us getting steamrolled, us turning the puck over, us turning away from hits, us getting steamrolled, them stealing a puck from somebody and getting us scoring on us. Them, and it showed, we're chasing that. That's what we're chasing. And I think the message got through to them, but I don't even know if I had to do that. I think that they were so... I think that the point hit home on Friday night that we either have to change or we're going to get run out of here again.
All right. Well, I want to remind everybody about the Blue Line Club luncheon. Michigan Tech Blue Line Club is hosting their third and final luncheon of the season this Friday at noon in the old Blue Line Room outside of University Images. The event is open to the public. Michigan Tech head coach Joe Sean, along with Bemidji State head coach Tom Ceratori, will both be on hand to talk about their teams and the weekend's WCHA series. Cost of the luncheon is $10 per person with pasties, coleslaw, chocolate cake, coffee, and water. Boy, that sounds good right now. RSVP by emailing blueline@mtu.edu by Thursday noon, okay, to reserve your seat. And, again, that Blue Line luncheon is at noon on Friday, but you need to RSVP by noon on Thursday, blueline@mtu.edu. And this will be the first two games and only two games of the regular season against Bemidji State. Very possible we could see them in the first round of the playoffs. Right now we're trying to catch them so that we flip-flop this and hopefully they come back to Houghton in the first round of the playoffs. But this is going to be a fun series this weekend.
Yeah, and this is going to decide – well, this could decide it, but it's certainly going to go a long ways towards deciding who gets that last home ice playoff spot. So we're looking forward to it. Hopefully we're getting things heading in the right direction at the right time.
Coach, just want to talk a little bit about the lineup, and I know you can't talk much about injuries, but obviously Keegan Ford, we know he's done for the year. We've been playing without Seamus Donahue, Mitch Rinke, Alex Gillies, Brent Baltus. Do you see any of these guys possibly coming back this weekend?
Possibly.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I'm giving.
All right, Coach. Well, Winter Carnival, this is always a big, big series. We see a lot of alumni up here. We see a lot of parents. Do you get a little bit more juiced up for a series like this, or are you just looking at who we're playing and what we need to do on the ice?
I just focus on the next game. That's really all I focus on. That's all I focus on.
All right, Coach. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. And we'll look forward to the Blue Line Luncheon at noon on Friday in a big series. 7:07 on Friday night is the start of the game. And don't forget that early start on Saturday for Winter Carnival, 5:07, all at the John McKenna Student Ice Arena. Tickets are on sale by going to buyhuskiestickets.com, or you can call 487-2073 or stop by the Central Ticket Office. Don't wait too long. Good seats are still available, but they are going quickly, and Winter Carnival is always a jam-packed John McGinnis Student Ice Room. So 7:07 Friday night, 5:07 on Saturday night, and noon for the Blue Line Luncheon on Friday afternoon. You have been tuned to the Joe Schoen Hour right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.